Today we're joined by Jeff Silverman of Alpha Parity, Ed Coyne of Sprott Asset Management, and John Haig of RSM. Gentlemen, welcome to ProofCap today. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Talk about the potential conflict between demands for transparency, you know, what's going on in the portfolio and why, with the need for hedge funds to closely guard their proprietary secret sauce. How is that playing out?
Not great, frankly. The black box or even the star manager phenomena that we had, say, 10 or 15 years ago has largely fallen by the wayside. Going back to the client demand and wanting to know the whys of how things work and having that access to this information is paramount. So the idea of saying invest with us, trust us, we know what we're doing, this has worked for 10 years. You can go back at multiple stages over the last decade, again without naming names, and see where that has not worked out so well and that whole black box syndrome has really been put under attack.
Jeff, what have you seen among your peers?
The black box and the black box mentality directly conflicts today's need for transparency amongst the investor universe. Investors need to understand the process. They need to understand the risk management process, the decision process, the sizing of positions. It is just not palatable to the investor to sit across the table from someone who might have some very splashy return profile, but just refuses to give the information, or hides behind the black box.
I mean, past performance is not indicative of future results, right? So they can't rely on how the black box performed in the past. That's exactly right. So investors are wanting to know things like leverage, liquidity, counterparty credit risk, et cetera, which are more questions than they've ever asked before, which get into the black box. Okay, but not necessarily into the trading algorithms that are within there. I don't think anybody will share those quite yet, but the questions are getting deeper.
Let's talk a bit more about how the fundraising game has changed for hedge funds over the past 5 to 10 years. One of you mentioned star investors. Is it no longer sufficient to show up in a pitch meeting with a star investor and say, this guy is going to be on our team, how much would you like to invest? Is that era not with us anymore?
Yeah, I'm happy to take it because we talk about this all the time at our firm and with our clients and in prospective client meetings. That we feel that, pre-crisis, we lived in a world where it was about star managers. Mm-hmm. The allocator would pull together a collection of star managers in filling each bucket, and he thought he had a diversified portfolio. And what the crisis taught us was that the portfolio wasn't diversified, that many of these star managers, there's a great deal of overlap, and that did not serve them well during the crisis. And now it is about the star allocator. The allocator has the new mandate from his investment committee to go build a truly diversified portfolio. They are the stars. The only problem is that they don't have new tools. Many of the funds today in some of the largest institutional portfolios look the same, except those managers are now 5 times the size.
What takes place in these meetings or what are investors looking for beyond, is there a star manager involved? What is the pedigree of the team, like the Cub teams or what are they called? The Tiger Cubs?
Well, they're not looking for that.
They're not looking for that, right.
Something new.
Right.
I would say I would add to that as far as the star manager or lack of star manager. I think the thing that's nice is that we've kind of gone actually back to fundamentals with regards to relationships with the client themselves. Your ability to reach out to the client for good news or bad is very important, and really accepting that idea that they do need that transparency and you having that direct connection with the client. I think the client service role has become elevated substantially over and above just, hey, we can deliver the numbers.
I would echo that and say that technology is also playing a bigger role in staying connected to the client. The client wants to be treated like a consumer. You need to, stay in touch, stay connected. So from the investor relations side and from the business development side, you need to take your procedures into the technology world. For example, what we've started doing to sort of go where the where we think it's going is we have put podcasts on our website where you know we will meet with an investor, but we recognize that when they want to think about our risk management, when they want to think about our operations, they want to think about our investment philosophy. Some of the next generation allocators don't necessarily want to always have another meeting, have another phone call, but we can guide them to our website where we've put the podcast on risk management, put the podcast on several different topics where they can go and drill down at their own leisure. In between, you know, season 3 and season 4 of The Americans or Breaking Bad, they can actually pull up the Alpha Parody podcast and learn as much as they need to.
We service clients in around 80 cities and about 110 countries worldwide. We focus on investment companies of trading any strategy whatsoever. So private equity to commodity pools, short-term, long-term, anything. And we also focus on the brokerage and trading aspect of the industry with the proprietary trading firms, futures commission merchants, broker-dealers, investment advisors, et cetera, et cetera. Well, in addition to the standard audit and tax work that all CPA firms are known for, we feel very comfortable in sitting down with our clients and dealing about the issues that they're facing as it relates to corporate structure, transactional services, cybersecurity, anti-money laundering, regulatory compliance, et cetera. So we've got a full basket of services that the marketplace needs.